Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Let me add my welcome to those that have already been given. My name's Charlie. I'm one of the pastors here. Thank you so much for joining us either in the auditorium here or online with us. It's great to have you gather with us. We're in our third week of Living as a Catalyst. Who's loved it so far? Awesome. That's good. So if you've missed the message that Pastor Anake brought last week on private disciplines and personal circumstances, or if you missed the first message that Pastor Stan brought us on the spark that helps others change, please head to our website or our app or YouTube and get that information. Learn what it is that we're teaching at the moment. I think it's imperative for us as a people of God to plug into that. And there's a whole ton of other messages and bits and pieces on these places as well. So please head there and you will learn great and mighty things. I think the vast majority of you have heard enough about my life now to know that it wasn't always peachy. Things didn't always go the way that I would have liked them to. And there was a particular time in my life when I was really frustrated. I didn't have work. I didn't really have great church connections at the time. I didn't have a great deal of friends or anything like that. I had crazy debt. I had debt collectors constantly contacting me. And to be quite honest, I was miserable. In the middle of my issues and my problems, my self-loathing and self-pity, God helped me to help a friend. God called me to help a friend. And this guy, his name's Roger. And Roger had this passion for the people living on the streets in Rockhampton. And God told me to go and spend time with Roger. And I told God in no uncertain terms that I was not an evangelist. I was not like Roger. And the people that Roger ministered to, the people that Roger loved, were people who drank metho. People who were on crack. And these people, they smelt. It wasn't pleasant. And it wasn't me. But Roger loved them. And so I said to God, I said, look, I can't do it. It is beyond me. It is not something that I believe I'm called to. And God said, well, what about Roger? And I said, well, yeah, Roger's a good bloke. He goes, I only want you to go and help Roger. I think God was being a bit cheeky here. So he got me to go and support Roger in Roger's ministry. And I prayed for Roger and we went out on the streets on a regular basis. I went dragging my feet, but I'm glad I did. Because my life was slowly transformed. I saw so many things, incredible things happen on those streets. I saw miracles, things that could only be attributed to God and the answer to prayer, the things that we prayed for. I saw God do great and mighty things. I saw people come to faith as a result of being out there on the streets. And this caused my faith to grow. This caused me to be more willing to step out, trusting that God would do stuff, even though I couldn't see it at the time. It caused me to take greater risks for him, to not need the answers before I stepped out. And more than that, I began to see these people that Roger loved as being made in God's image. And I began to love them too. And I spent some great times out on the streets there. And when I think back and look at that time, a very formative time for me, perhaps that was the start of the transformation that God needed me to have in order to be the man he wanted me to be and allow me to be standing before you today. Whatever the reason, I wouldn't change that time for anything, not for quits. I began to serve in a way I have never served before. God had ignited something in me that transformed my life. And I want to encourage you guys, he can do the same for you. And I want to encourage you to seek the spark that ignites our personal ministry. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your presence here with us in the auditorium. I thank you for your presence with those who are online as well. And Lord, I pray that you will be moving, mixing amongst us by power of Holy Spirit, that you'll minister to each one as we have need. But more than anything, Lord, I pray you'll open our hearts and our minds to hear the message that you have for us this morning. I pray we'll be receptive to what you are saying. And more than that, Lord, I pray that we'll be obedient to those promptings, that we will step out in faith and do things that perhaps we have never done before. Lord, this is your space. This is your time. I want to honor you. And I trust that those here want to honor you as well. Have your way with me. Have your way with us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have a whole heap of different people gathered here in the auditorium and with us online as well. And I have no doubt that we're all in a different place in time. But we're all on a journey. That's what we share in common. We are all on a journey together. Some of us are yet to decide to follow Jesus. And I'm so happy that you're here being part of us this morning. Some of us have been following Jesus for a little while and they're still trying to work out how to get it all together, how everything fits and works. And it's fantastic to have you guys here as well. Then there's some of us who have been following Jesus for a little while and we think we've got it all together. We think we know what we're supposed to be doing. And then we've got those guys that Pastor Stan was talking about, the guys and girls who've been here for decades. These are the great people who have a rock solid faith and they know they don't have it all together because God seems to constantly challenge them to do more and more for him, to submit more and more to him. Wherever you fit in, this message is for you. This message, God is speaking to you. If you're on a journey to yet meet Jesus, I'm talking about the type of people that you want to encounter, the type of people you believe the church should be. These are people who love and accept you exactly where you are, right in your space at this time. These are people who will encourage you. These are people who will help you. These are people who will love you. These are people who will answer your questions and support you. These are people who will help you see Jesus as you explore faith. For the rest of you, if you say you follow Jesus, today is a call or a reminder to reflect on what should be shaping your life. What is it you do that shapes you? It could be a nudge for you to pause and think about why you're here at Catalyst Baptist Church at this point in time, why God has called you here at this point. It's all about our journey with Jesus and his reasonable expectation of you at this time. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago." He's got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, and when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we become a new creation, a masterpiece, it says. The old me's gone. It's been put to death. Those old passions, those old desires, the wants and needs that I once had no longer influence me. Instead, I focus on Christ. And my plans, my purposes, my goals should be in alignment with God's plans and purposes. He's brought me and my family to this place, and he's brought you to this place for a purpose, for a reason. There are no coincidences in God's kingdom. There is a plan and purpose in all things that he does. And you are here so you can do the good things that he planned for you to do long ago, before you were even born. He knew you'd be here. Can I ask you to be honest? Can we just pause? And can you ask yourselves, am I doing what God has planned for me to do? Am I being obedient to him? If we seriously consider James 1:22 to 25. I'm not going to read it out. Do our lives reflect our obedience to his call? Are we listening to him and obeying him in doing what we read and what we hear? Have we found the sheer joy and delight of being found in the middle of God's will as we serve others? You see, our personal ministry is all about serving others. And serving others aligns our will with Jesus. In Mark 10, 45, it tells us that Jesus himself came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Are we willing to follow him? We are told to deny ourselves daily, to take up our cross and follow him. And in following Jesus, we walk in his footsteps. We do what he did. Are we willing to do that? When we follow him, it's not just about what we know. It's about what we do. Galatians 5:13 tells us, we have been called to live in freedom, brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. And I could go on quoting passage after passage after passage about how we should serve each other, how we should serve those around us. But I think that's pretty clear. When we think about our faith, I think as I grew up, my faith was something about a foot in the door. You know, I prayed the prayer and so I was accepted. I was going to heaven. But it's so much more than that. We don't get to kick back until he returns. We don't get to just wait on him. A life of faith, a life of following Jesus is characterized or should be characterized by a life of service. Now, I know we're all busy. I know we seem to be so much more busier than we ever were before. And I know we've got work, I know we've got sport, I know we've got family, I know we've got kids, we've got new relationships, we've got new marriages, we've got new toys. I have anyway. I like my toys. And I know some of you have been burnt by the church. I know some of you have been hurt when you've tried to help. I know some of you have been rejected when you've tried to join a ministry. But I want you to imagine Jesus standing before you. And he's asking you, are you going to be obedient? Are you going to serve me? Do you think any of those excuses stand up? Do you think he'd accept any of that? Moses told God he was slow of speech. Gideon said his clan was the weakest and he was the least in his family. Jeremiah said he was too young and didn't know how to talk. Jonah thought Nineveh deserved what was coming. Ananias felt the need to tell God what Saul was really like. God must have forgotten. And there's so many others in Scripture, isn't there? But the reality is, if we are willing to be obedient, say yes to Jesus, he will be with us just as he was with Moses, with Gideon, with Jeremiah, and all the others. And he went, all of those guys went from strength to strength in their faith. Because you see, when we serve others, it stretches and increases our faith. There's an account in the Bible, and it's in all four Gospels, which is quite rare for an account to be in all four Gospels. And it's an incredible account. See, Jesus has been preaching to this great crowd, and we're told there was 5,000 men there, not including the women and children that were there. It was getting late in the afternoon, and the disciples, out of their heart of concern for these people that were gathered, they went to Jesus and they said, Jesus, you know what? It's getting late in the day. Perhaps you should send these people away, and perhaps you should encourage them to go and buy some food. And so Jesus turns to the disciples, and he says to the disciples, you feed them. Can you imagine the dilemma that the disciples now face? They don't really know who Jesus is at this stage. They're still learning about what Jesus can do. The incredible thing is, again, Jesus knows exactly what he's going to do in this situation. But the Gospel of Mark tells us that the disciples, when they were told, you feed them, the Gospel of Mark tells us that the disciples responded with what? We could work for months and we still wouldn't earn enough money to feed these people. What do you want us to do, Jesus? And I wonder if they're standing back there and they're wondering, well, you know what? We should have given Jesus some more water. He's been out in the sun all day. He's possibly a little bit touched here. He doesn't understand what he's saying. Could be a bit dehydrated. Because they really don't understand what is going on here. And rather than, you know, just go straight ahead, John was possibly the one who turned to Andrew and said, Andrew, what do we got food-wise? And Andrew said, well, you know what? We got this lad here. This lad's got two small fish, and he's got some barley loaves, realistically a snack for a grown man. And they're like, this is all we've got, Jesus. But here's the miracle. We look at the miracle of feeding 5,000, but there's another miracle that's happening here. The disciples got no idea what's going to happen. The disciples got no idea that Jesus can multiply such things. And Jesus says, you know what, guys? You know what I want you to do? I want you to get these people, I want you to get them to sit in 50s. I want you to get them to sit in hundreds. And the disciples did it. They were obedient. It's insane. Why would they do that? They were expecting something to happen, but they didn't know what. And they get the crowd to sit down. Jesus blesses the loaves. He gives it to them. And the disciples distributed it. I don't know what that looked like. Was it just like a few crumbs in a plate and a few bits of fish? And they went round and Jesus multiplied it. And everyone was fed. How many baskets were picked up at the end of that? 12? Yep, I heard someone say. How many disciples? Can you imagine? They started with these small loaves, two small fish. Now they've got this basket. Each disciple's carrying this basket with more than enough food for them, and they're fed everyone. This is the leftover. Could you imagine how their faith changed towards Jesus, how they believed so much more in him? They still didn't understand fully who he was, but they understood he could do great things. Could you imagine the conversations that they had, not just that day, but in the future, the days to come and the years to come? Could you imagine how they sat in their latter years and said, there was this day that Jesus did this thing. You see, we will be called not when we have it all together, not when we fully understand who Jesus is and what Jesus can do, not when we've got all knowledge of what he's calling us into. We're going to be called to serve right now as you follow him. In the midst of our inadequacies. The disciples didn't have the food to provide for this crowd. The disciples didn't have the faith to provide for this massive crowd. And they didn't have faith in Jesus. But he called them to feed them. They looked to him. They trusted what he said. And they were moved to action. They were obedient. And they witness this incredible miracle as a result. When we are willing to obey, when we're willing to step out of our comfort zone, when we're willing to do something that we haven't done before and focus on Jesus rather than our inabilities, rather than a lack of resources, we will see him do great and mighty things. We will see miracles. And I believe each and every one of us gathered here has natural abilities, natural gifts, natural talents, which we can use to glorify God. And for those who are genuine followers of Jesus, I believe we also gain spiritual gifts, gifts that are given to us when we continue to follow him. And God blesses us with those gifts to serve others. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Obedience matters. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, if you have repented and asked him to be your Lord and Savior, then he calls you to a life of obedience. Not just knowing him, not just knowing about him, because trust me, the devil knows more about him than you do, but doing what he says, putting into practice. Our willingness to obey him and to live in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord is confirmation of our standing and right relationship with God. It's a confirmation that we follow him. It is about us longing, desiring, allowing ourselves to be conformed to the very image of Jesus. Romans 12:1-2 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. True followers of Jesus are deeply transformed. We will be willing participants in this transformation, allowing the way we think and the way we act to be changed, to be taken captive and to be renewed. Our desire should be to look at the world the way Jesus does, to see people as made in God's image, to love them as He loved them, and to be obedient and to serve Him and others, which is His good and perfect will for each and every one of us. I told you about my experience with Roger on the streets of Rockhampton. I felt inadequate, I felt uncomfortable, I felt I lacked the faith that was required. I experienced so much when I was there, so much on the streets. I learned about God's protection. I learned about miracles. I learned about people being brought into the kingdom in miraculous ways. I experienced the joy of serving. I experienced the renewed hope. I experienced renewed faith, renewed love for all kinds of people. And more than anything, I experienced the empowering and equipping of a God who loves us and will never leave us on our own, who will be there right alongside us in whatever it is. He willingly provides for us each and every step of the way. We just need to step out in faith, even when we're afraid, even when we're inadequate, even when we're unsure. When I said yes to supporting Roger, I began to truly live the life Jesus calls His followers to live, a life of servitude. In many ways, I thought I was doing this for others, but I believe the greater work was done in me. I believe I was transformed more than anyone else. As I followed Jesus in obedience and served others, something happened to me. It's like what I was doing was living the very word of God. I looked around and I saw God doing great and mighty things. And suddenly Scripture came more alive. It became engaging. I gained insights I had never had before because I was seeing this stuff happening around me that is reflected in Scripture. And I was seeing things that could only be attributed to God. There was no other way that they could have happened. Willingly submitting to God and serving others brings our worldview into alignment with His worldview, Jesus' worldview, and it changes everything. Everything. When we serve others, it makes a difference for them, but it makes a difference for us too. It does something for us and it does something in us. So what about you? When we think about serving, and I'm guilty of this, it's easy to give financially, and please don't hear me saying to stop that, because we give financially. And so we've got those kids we adopt overseas, we've got missionaries we support and everything like that, and we give financially to support that. That is a good thing, so please don't hear me saying anything differently. But it is so easy just to give finances and allow that to be our total act of servitude. And there's a distance between us and the people involved. There's a separation. There's no personal engagement with them. We don't experience what it's like to get down on their level and to understand the life that they're living and to live with them. And I believe that's where God wants us to be. It's where Jesus was on this earth. You think about the boundaries that He crossed that the Pharisees and Sadducees would go nowhere near. And Jesus crossed those boundaries and He got alongside those that He served. And He's calling us to do the same. We're to get alongside them. We're to experience their heartaches. We're to experience their pain. We're to know their suffering. We're to show them the compassion. We're to love them. We're to be kind. We're to be supportive. And my prayer right now is that Holy Spirit is nudging you. Actually, my prayer is that He's shoving you real hard. But I pray that He's nudging you, pushing you out of your comfort zone and challenge you and saying, this is where you've got to be. You've got to operate in this space and you've got to get in this place where you're uncomfortable, where it's got to be God or it's not going to happen. You've got to go to that place where perhaps you don't have all the answers, you don't have all the knowledge, but you're willing to say, well, Lord, I'm here and I'm going to do it for You. Are you going to step out in obedience with God? Are you going to follow Him? You don't have to have the complete picture, but you have to decide to serve anyway, to be obedient. John 15:12 says, this is My commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. Jesus demonstrated His love for us. And so many of us say, we don't have time to serve. We don't have time to commit to anything on a regular basis. What if we turned that on its head? What if we said, this week, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go to work Monday. And my workplace is going to be about serving Jesus. I don't know what you do, but I want you to change your attitude towards your work. That's a mission field. And you're going to serve Jesus in your workplace. You're going to do the best you can as if Jesus is standing alongside you. What if we said, I'm going to love others just as Jesus loved us? And when I look at Jesus' life, when I look at everything that he did, he had some days that were incredibly busy. I don't know how he did everything he did in one day, and yet he never turned a person away. In fact, it was exactly the opposite. Even when others were turning people away, Jesus welcomed them and drew them to himself. Will you love others with your time? Will you make time? Because when you make time to love others, you honor God in serving them. In the midst of all this, as you think this through, are you willing to do or be a little more open to do some things you wouldn't normally do? We have some specific opportunities for you out in the foyer this morning. We're going to have people on the door checking to make sure you've signed up for something. You can't leave unless you do. No, that's a joke. That's a joke. That'd be great if we could do that. But we've got some things out there, some specific opportunities out in the foyer. We've got these tables set up with different ministries of Catalyst Baptist. We need help in all of these ministries and more. In care, in hosting, in kids, in youth, creative, the bridge admin. Seriously, we need so many people in these places, and we've got so many opportunities that you may not think are ways that you can serve in all of these areas. So I encourage you to go to those tables and just look at the ways that you can serve, because there will be opportunities that you can do. And I want to ask you, could you imagine what it would be like if everyone here did one thing? Everyone. I'm a newbie here. I know I'm up front on stage and things like, praise God, I got a job. I'm thankful for that. But I'm a newbie. I've only been here a bit over 12 months. And when we came, we felt welcome here. We felt loved. We felt part of this people. We sensed a presence here that we hadn't got in a lot of other places. And I'm sure there's so many of you who are here because of exactly the same reason. But the crazy thing is, we want to multiply hope. We want that to continue. And the only way that's going to continue is if you people who were drawn here because of that are replicating that. You're doing it again. And the only way you're going to do that is if you're willing to serve others. Let's be those who are welcoming, friendly, part of this presence where people are overawed at all God is doing, because we're living in obedience to him. We want to continue to reach and encourage each and every person who walks through those doors. We want to see that hope multiplied. And as a gathered people, the church, not the building, we are the church. As a gathered people, our heart and desire should be to live out what it means to do what's painted on the wall outside. Striving to be. Striving to be. Loving community, seeking, serving, sharing Jesus. Do you believe that? Come on, guys. This is what we stand for. Do you believe that? Let's be doers of it. Let's live it out. Could you imagine each and every one of us choosing one ministry and choosing to serve there? Could you imagine what it would be like when we gather together and we give the good news stories of the things that God has done in our ministry and how it spurs others on to greater and greater work? Could you imagine how it will transform your life, how Scripture will come alive, how your families will be transformed because they can see the very presence and power of God each and every day as you serve Him? Can you imagine that? I've seen it. I've lived it. I've seen God do great and mighty things. He will empower, He will equip, He will work through you. And you don't need to be special, because you are. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. And He's got you here for a reason. Each and every one of us is here at this time for a reason. You've got a gift. You've got an ability that I don't have. And we need to play our part in the greater body of Christ and to serve each other and to serve those in our community. Can I encourage you, if there's not something in the foyer that resonates with you, we got this awesome course we do. It's called Find Your Fit. My family went through this when we first arrived. And it just helps you find out where you can serve in the church. I encourage you, if you can't find where to serve, go to the welcome desk, sign up for Find Your Fit. We'll encourage you through that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the challenge that it is. It's a challenge to me, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're a God who's all about transformation. You're a God who's about renewal. You're a God who's about second chances. And Lord, I thank you that you call us. You don't need us, but you want us. And you want to use each and every one who can hear my voice to help you, to serve you, to be obedient to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll give us the tenacity to hang on to that, that you'll help us to step out in faith, that you'll allow us to explore the opportunities that we have right here, right now at Catalyst Baptist Church, to take a step perhaps we've never taken before and to serve you. And Lord, I thank you for every person who does that. You are going to do great and mighty things in, through, and around them so that they'll be left in awe, praising, honoring, and glorifying your name. You are a good God. Thank you that you love us, and thank you that you choose to use us. In Jesus' name, amen.